Duncan.
Rich.
How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. I'm just I'm looking up tickets for Soccer Aid 20 whatever it is. Is this 24?
Yeah.
They release tickets.
Anyone good going plan in it, or do you not know until like?
Eden Hazard, mate. They're playing at Stamford Bridge.
Oh, that's right up your street.
On Sunday, whatever it is, I don't know. It'll be a Sunday. 2024 tickets, how to buy. Where is it? Yeah, Hazard's coming back to Bridge. He's very happy about it.
I hope you get tickets, Dunk.
I mean, it's Sunday the 9th of June, mate. It's a bit short notice, I'll be honest. I don't think I can get down from.
Well, you got somewhere to stay. You got my yard to stay at, but I don't know. Don't know the rest. You have to figure that shit out yourself, big boy.
I can go there in my Chelsea kit. I can feel like the old days, mate. Just living the old days for dreams. Anyway, football. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're podcasting now, aren't we?
Podcast, not football. Podcast.
How are you, Rich? You all right?
Yeah.
You keeping women?
Am I keeping women?
Well, are you keeping well? Oh, we were talking women actually. In the break between podcasts, we were talking about the women's football and the state of it, and it's a topic that we've returned to regularly on this podcast because we support women's football here.
That's right.
And we're just saying it's in a very good place at the moment, isn't it, mate?
It is. And Spurs women are through to the semi-finals and are playing Leicester City, and I'm gonna fucking go to that game. And hopefully we can win and make it to the fucking final. And we'll probably end up playing Chelsea's women, Dunk. So it'll be a big event for sure. And I think
I think what was it? We're up against United, and we have only lost once against United in our last 16 matches. So I think we should be all right.
And all
we should
got,
be all right.
All they've got now is Ella Toon and Mary Earps, and that's it. And Mary Earps might even be on her way because I don't think they've renewed her contract.
Mary Earps, the only women's footballer to have a waxwork in Madame Tussauds.
I mean, there you go. That's a useless.
That was useless
fact. That
was announced this week. That was announced this week. So if you ever want to go and see Mary Earps without having that sort of creepy, awkward interaction, you can go and stand next to a creepy, awkward waxwork at Madame Tussauds in London.
Have you noticed that they've covered the whole, like, releasing Mary Earps shirt now by... Actually, this is a quick thing that we do need to say. I am very proud of England for finally going, we're going to release one shirt for the men, women and disabled. All together, England as one, instead of going, let's make loads of fucking money and do a men's shirt, a women's shirt, a fucking this or that. Fuck it out.
What did you think of this year's kit, mate?
I want to save it for another podcast, Dunk.
You're saving that for another podcast?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we can go into great detail about it. But
okay.
I want to talk about something different
we'll
now.
We'll talk football kits in the next podcast. But I think it's we're in a good position with women's football. It's nice.
And talking about women, Dunk. Shut the fuck up. Talking about women, Dunk. September 15th, Dunk. Is the birthday of one Agatha Christie.
She's dead, mate.
Yeah, but she wrote...
She's been dead for years. I don't know why.
The only people, right, to have outsold the Bible and fucking Shakespeare is fucking Agatha Christie. Actually, she didn't outsell them. That's a lie. She's third.
So she's not as good as a man and she's not as good as God. No, yeah. She's good as God.
Well, I mean, I disagree. Shakespeare's shit. But anyway, she made a very famous book that's been turned into a movie called The Orient Express. You know about that one, Dunk, right?
Murder on the Orient Express.
Hey,
yes.
Dunk, you like trains. You should like this shit. You can geek out about trains.
I don't like trains.
You do like fucking trains. You work fucking trains.
Yeah, exactly. This is a common misconception. I do not like trains.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I started work, I like trains. I don't like trains anymore. They break. They're horrible. They don't work.
Well, then this story will be right up your alley.
Okay, the reason why Agatha Christie has outsold so many different authors is because she wrote 66 books.
Yeah, that's an achievement, Dunk. Why are you trying to shit on her achievement?
Because she went for quantity, not quality.
Hey, Dunk, why do you hate women?
I don't.
You do, Dunk. Why do you hate women?
I don't hate all women.
You may not know, Dunk, but the story of the Orient Express is actually based on a true story, Dunk.
No, fuck off.
I'm not fucking off.
This is like when they put at the start of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre that was based on a real story.
No, Dunk. In February 1929, the Orient Express was blocked by snow and ice for 12 days.
Oh, no. Whatever. Yeah, okay, fine. Okay.
In minus 25 degree weather.
You make that sound like when I moved up to Scotland, it was minus 27.
Yeah, you're a dickhead, though, who chose to fucking live in a fucking cold place and fucking freeze.
Hey, we know my circumstances.
These people fucking were paying big money back then to go on a very fancy train to fucking, you know, fucking do their little train fucking thing.
Yeah, you know, back in the days where the class system was even more apparent than it is now, the upper class toffs went and spent lots of money to go on a wonderful train adventure.
Anyway, it was blocked by snow and ice for 12 days, Dunk, and it was only 130 kilometres from its terminus in the Turkish village of Zakoskvi. Zakoskvi? So, hold on. Zakoski. That'll do.
Nailed it.
The stalled train seemed to have vanished from the face of the earth, Dunk, causing widespread concern and being widely reported in the international press. The passengers and elite international clientele had to rely on the benevolence and professionalism of the crew to survive, Dunk. How are they going to survive this?
I don't know. Probably eat caviar. Start burning some of the furniture. Maybe if they get really desperate. They've probably got enough alcohol on there. They'd still be expecting first-class, fine dining experience. None of them would have been roughing it out. They might have smelt a little bit, I guess. Some of them might have foregone a couple of baths because they would have had to have tin baths back in the day. But they're on a train. So as long as they've got enough coal, they can keep shoveling it in, keep warming up the water, and ultimately have a relatively untainted experience.
Let's find out. Testimonies were chilling. They had to try to melt the ice to drink, Duncan. They had no fucking liquid.
I don't get, so, I don't, you've got a giant, so these are steam locomotives, right? You've got a giant kettle, which is expended, there's a lot of heat coming out of the front of a train.
Okay.
Yeah, have you ever seen a steam train in person?
Yeah, when I was a kid, but it doesn't mean I know why it's got anything to do with fucking water, Dunk. I'm not a geek.
Okay, so,
Nerd.
You've got an oven, essentially, in the middle of a... so you've got two cylinders. The internal cylinder is an oven.
Okay, that's a shape. External... I know what a cylinder is. There you go. That much.
Yeah, the cylinder around the outside of it. The gap between the two cylinders, there's water in there. So, yeah, chuck fire in between, in the middle cylinder. That warms up the water in the gap that's between the two. That then makes the water expand and boil and become steam. That steam has a higher pressure than natural atmospheric air. So using that pressure, if you direct it into a valve on a piston, you can push a piston from one side to the other. If you put a ping pong ball in a tube and you suck on one end, the pressure differences are different on both ends of the tube, so the ping pong ball moves to you. Essentially, you're doing that with steam.
Okay. I think you've lost all the listeners.
But the entire front, essentially the entire front end of the train is just a big furnace. And occasionally the pressure gets too much, which they then have to release the steam. They'll either do that by just having a dump valve and you'll see the steam coming out around the sides of the wheels. Or they'll blow the horn and the whistle blows And that's how the you got steam coming out of there. They also mix some of the steam in with the smoke, and that's what gives it that beautiful coal steam smell, which is very unique to steam locomotives. But if you're stuck in a train that's stuck in snow, and you've got a steam engine on the front of it, there should be enough heat coming from the steam engine at the front that you can literally just crawl forwards and melt the snow as you continue.
Well, unfortunately, they were all fucktards back then, and they did not know that, Dunk. So, anyway, there were no lights there, Dunk, no lights at night, and there were wolves roaming around the stalled train, and bandits too, motherfucker.
Yeah, because they're rich toffs. If you had some fucking dumbasses parked in the middle, you'd commit a heist. Similar to the last great train heist in England, which happened in Cheddington, which we covered on a previous podcast. It's an opportunist's dream. You got essentially taking candy from babies.
The train employees worked hard to buy food from local farmers and defend the passengers. Solidarity.
I don't think they worked particularly hard. I don't think they were very hard at all, mate. I reckon they were in on it. I reckon it was an inside job.
Solidarity had settled into combat the anguish of waiting and hunger. One, Mahalida, I don't even know what that means, even went so far as to pay the price of a pearl necklace for a chicken.
So, a fool and his money can be easily parted. That's where that phrasing comes from.
Eggs and bread were distributed by the employees while they were waiting for deliverance. After 12 days...
Waiting for deliverance?
Yeah, I don't know. After 12 days, the exhausted passengers were rescued by a snowplow arriving from Istanbul.
I've got no sympathy for them, mate. They put themselves into that situation. They're toffs. I think it could have been an inside job. I reckon some of the train crew might have told the locals, here, we've got this this train full of really rich people coming through. If you should block the pass with a bit of snow, just a tiny little bit, we'll pretend that we're stuck for 12 days and you can come and roll us blind and we'll take a share of the profits.
Did you know that they're putting the Orient Express back on track? Like to Istanbul in 2025.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Is it going to be a steam locomotive? Have they learned their lesson?
And apparently, it will also be possible to visit it during the 2024 Olympics in Paris, where a sweet car, a bar car, and a restaurant car will be open to the public to have a little taste of it.
Yep. So you can try and sell people the dream of being in 18th century or 19th century Eastern Europe.
I'm surprised
it's rubbish.
The murder of the Orient Express didn't... I mean, you could have taken the original story and pretty much kind of turned it into a bit of whatever that movie is where the rugby players fucking eat each other, and the most recent one, Yellow Jacket. And you could have pretty much done that with the fucking train story.
I reckon that would have made a more compelling story.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which backs up my notion that Agatha Christie actually couldn't write for shit. She just wrote a lot and sold it a lot.
And now we've gone back to the fact that Duncan hates women.
I don't hate women.
It's fucking National Women Month, and Duncan's telling us how much women can't write. Me, Dunk.
You're the champion of Agatha Christie. Tell me some of her other stories.
We got the fucking Death on the Nile.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's two.
We've got...
Have we got any that haven't been turned into films?
I've got loads, dude. I read the books. I've got, like, a whole bunch of them, but I just can't remember the names of them.
Have you really?
Yeah.
You're actually a fan of Agatha Christie?
Yes, I am actually a fan of Agatha Christie. I think they're brilliant.
I don't rate them, mate.
Why?
It's not my style of book.
Is it not just classism?
No, I think I have a problem with whodunits that I normally try and pick out whodunit before it happened, before the big reveal, and woefully disappointed by the result, especially if I've got it right, because it means that the breadcrumbs were far too obvious through it.
So, I mean, yeah. Have you read the Winnie the Pooh author's one murder mystery book that he wrote?
A.A. Milne?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I've read Winnie the Pooh, but I haven't read any of the things.
A.A. Milne, a man like you, also felt that way about murder mysteries, and probably about women, just like you, Dunk. So he decided...
We started this so well.
He decided...
This was us singing the praise of women's football, and now you're just attacking me.
You shat all over it. He decided to...
Shat all over Agatha Christie. I gave her a Cleveland steamer, which she would have liked, because she had a thing about boats.
He decided to write a book that he felt was the perfect murder mystery, where you... He states...
No, I'll stop you there, Rich. You want to know the perfect murder mystery? Knives Out. Now, Knives Out has been critically acclaimed for being very different and very exciting. Not just a hack thing that gets redone to death. Did you watch the most recent Murder on the Orient Express or Death on the Nile with Kenneth Branagh?
Hold on. You mean Knives Out inspired by Agatha Christie?
Inspired, but twisted.
Yes, but still inspired by Agatha Christie.
She didn't write the entire genre. She is not like the... She might be the defining author of a genre, but she didn't create it.
Is this because I insulted...
murder mystery.
Is this because I insulted your man, writer William Shakespeare?
No, I don't like Shakespeare either.
Yes, Knives Out was good, but the sequel was fucking not that good.
Yeah, well, that's because the studio were like, oh, this is successful, we'll try and create even more. And all of the actors went, hey, this is a sequel, and the first one was just a great success, so we can make a lot of money from it. I watched Northman last night. Again, another film, don't bother. It's just shit.
What film?
Northman.
Oh, okay. I have no interest in watching Northman. I also have no interest in watching...
Is that because you hate women, mate?
No, I hate men. That's why I don't like Christopher
Nolan.
You don't like
Anya Taylor-Joy.
No, I don't like men like Christopher Nolan and that fucking bullshit movie that you like and all the fucking people have given awards to, even though it's really fucking dark and depressing.
Well, Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
It's a very important... I thought it was a very important film.
Why is it important,
Doug? It was a stretch to say that I liked it.
Why is it important, Doug?
Well, it's not important to know who created the atomic bomb.
Why is it important, Doug?
Or the group behind creating the atomic bomb. Well, considering that we're on the edge of atomic warfare with Russia at the moment.
We have been since the fucking 1960s, Doug.
Yes, which is why there's a doomsday clock. And it has been getting ever closer to zero.
Duncan.
Yeah.
Take your antidepressants. Midnight. Take your antidepressants.
I'm not allowed to, mate. Because of trains.
Oh my fuck, Dunk. This was meant to be a lovely podcast episode about a fucking important woman, Agatha Christie, for a woman month, talking about the real story of the Orient Express, and instead I have got the most miserable fucking cunt on the fucking show.
I think it was a great show. I think the dynamic was fantastic, and the fact that you attacked me for being a sexist was very funny.
Dunk, I don't think you should go to work tomorrow.
I think I have to.
But Dunk, stay away from the railway track.
I've got to go over it, mate, twice.
No, don't do it. Dunk, it's spring. The weather's getting better. There'll be boobies soon. Just hold on. Just hold on, Dunk. Speaking of accidents, you know Joe crashed into another car the other week?
No.
He's trying to blame the driver, but I reckon it was Joe's fault.
What, just slightly didn't pay attention and just shunted someone up the arse?
Basically, yeah. He's saying that driver broke too sharply. When I reckon Joe was that driver that was, you know, up your arse.
Yeah, I guess that could be... Yeah, but it's one of those things when you're going through insurance, you kind of have to maintain that it's not your fault. Otherwise, you don't get a payout, they get a payout, and you're kind of left up shit creek without a replacement vehicle or a fix if it needs it.
I think he's done all right, you know. I think the damage wasn't that bad. I think it was the whole thing was quite lucky considering, and I think something about his area has like really low rates of. Car crashes or whatever, which is surprising considering he lives in Essex. And yeah, like He's got out of it. He's got out of it in a pretty good style, you know? Unlike Duncan and his thoughts on Agatha Christie and women. 20 minutes.